The simplest way to state the goal of the Wisconsin Energy Institute, or WEI, is this: find ways to make energy and stuff sustainably. But if a perennial bioenergy feedstock stores carbon in the woods, but nobody hears it, does it really happen? I'm Mark Griffin, and you're listening to Forward in Energy, the Wisconsin Energy Institute's podcast about all things energy research on the University of Wisconsin-Madison campus. With us today is Outreach and Events Coordinator Allison Bender, whose job is literally to make sure we don't have the opportunity to ask that question. Allison, you've interacted with, now I know this for sure, quadruple digits in the year 2019, thousands of people in communities across Wisconsin and the Midwest in 2019, talking about energy and the environment. You must really enjoy doing that.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I think I'm always being reminded that I am learning as much from the people that I'm interacting with as I'm bringing to them in various communities or here on campus.
When we talk about outreach, what is the suite of things that we are thinking of?
Outreach can mean a lot of different things. Here at UW-Madison, one of the most common things we do is what we call an exploration station, so some sort of interactive hands-on table where a scientist or a representative is engaging at maybe like a science fair or festival. It could also mean school field trips coming to WEI. It could mean panels or science cafes or public seminars. It could mean all different sorts of things, even a scientist finding new ways to talk about their research at a professional conference. So it's broad, and I think that's one of the fun things too about it is there's lots of room for creativity.
So you have some stats in front of you, right?
I do.
Can you tell me some of the numbers? Run it down for me.
Yeah, so for just my first year of collecting data, it's not perfect, but we had we reached over 4,600 attendees at a variety of different programs. Like the average contact minutes we spent with a person was 74 minutes, so that means the programs were typically over an hour. We had over 70 instances of people volunteering. Some of that could be the same person coming back and volunteering at multiple events, but that was exciting for me for the first year of trying to get more scientists to engage and come out with me into the community. We had 13 schools visit WEI for tours and field trips. We had two field trips of WEI staff and scientists going out to facilities. We went to the landfill and to the wastewater treatment plant, so that was fun. One of our goals, looking at like where events happened, we had a lot more events happen on campus and in Dane County than outside of Dane County. So that's something we can look at and see how we can do better, reaching more people outside of this central area in future years.
Describing all of those different ways of outreaching to people, it seems like you did a little bit of all of it, right?
Yeah. It was kind of the gear of saying yes to everything.
What were some of the highlights for you?
Some of the highlights were in the summer we did a program called Grandparents University, and that was definitely a highlight because a lot of our programming is we might see those participants for an hour or even 15 minutes if it's at a fair festival, and Grandparents University is structured where we have a group of people, alumni, who are coming back with their grandchildren, and we have them for 6 hours over 2 days, and so the chance to really delve into a lot of topics was really awesome, and to get to know the participants over that time. One of the highlights of that program was doing oral history projects where the grandchildren interviewed their grandparents about how energy systems have changed throughout their lifetimes, which was really sweet and led to some funny interactions and some really meaningful interactions as they thought about where things have changed and what they hope for their grandchildren's generations as far as energy use and sustainability.
I remember being there for one of those interactions. Can you talk about it a little bit more?
right before we let them loose with the microphones.
Yeah.
So I just asked, does anybody else have any questions before we break out and before you do your interviews? And one grandpa raised his hand, and he just said something along the lines of, like, I wish I would have taken the opportunity to talk more to my grandparents when I had that chance. And he was kind of tearing up. So it was really special.
I feel like there was a lot of mist in the room when that happened.
Yeah. We had to be like, all right, let's go before everyone was just going to cry.
Is there something about what the importance of these kinds of activities are, though, when one of the values of it is just providing that space for mm-hmm. those kinds of meaningful interactions to happen?
Absolutely. Grandparents University was unique because of that cross-generational thing, but for emotional interactions, I think about that all the time, because kids are coming and they know about climate change and they're scared. You know, they might not understand the full science of it, but they're seeing things happening, they're hearing things on the news, and it's scary for their future, you know. So having a chance where we can talk about the science and then also talk about solutions and what's going on and kind of get a space for reckoning with the emotions while providing maybe a little bit of here's a little bit of hope, a nugget of hope. Here's what's happening, and here's what we need and what we can do. It's like a kind of a spur to action, I guess, to have that information that you can then take.
Another one of the moments that this year, a memory of mine that really warmed my heart, was seeing our multimedia specialist and a student intern and a graduate research, and you hunkered down in the outreach space coming up with this creative interactive exhibit for this collaboration with the Chazen Museum of Art called Plastic Entanglements. And tell us a little bit about the process of brainstorming those kinds of things and how you get to that point where you have this cool thing, this cool activity that dozens of people will end up participating in.
Yeah, so the partnership with the Chazen Art Museum was really cool because they reached out to us when they found out they were going to be having this traveling exhibition all about plastic, because they had heard that there was some cool plastics research going on, particularly about bioplastics in our building. And then when we started thinking about what can this partnership be, it evolved from being a one-time kind of public seminar to being involved with field trips and these public family, they call them Art Spins family events at the Chazen Museum on Saturdays. And so just through casual interactions in the building, I knew that one of our graduate students was doing a research, his PhD project on microplastics at the wastewater treatment plant. And so we were able to brainstorm and loop that into one of the themes for the art spin, which was mosaics and thinking about pieces and particles and how they come together or break apart. And so for building a station, first it was, what is your research? What are you doing? Kind of break it down for me. Explain what are your big questions? What are you asking? And then once we had a kind of map of that, we were deciding, what do we want people to walk away with? Do we want them to think about this part of your research, or what is a microplastic, or what is the main focus? And then once we know what we want them to leave with, or what we want them to be questioning or thinking about in a different way, then we think about, how do we get them there? What activity, what hands-on thing, what question, what game can we make that helps them get to that point? And so it took a lot of brainstorming. I actually today just found my notes from when I was going to go chat with Derek about his research for the first time. And I was like looking at the questions that I had to ask him just when we are starting. It could have been anything. And through a process of a lot of back and forth and brainstorming, we came to this model of a wastewater treatment plant where you were sort of a scientist sampling a little bit of effluent, going through the process of the wastewater treatment plant and then sampling the effluent and seeing what happened or didn't happen with the microplastic pollution that was at the plant.
What is a microplastic, by the way?
It is a small piece of plastic. I think it's 4 or 5 nm or smaller, so a really tiny piece of plastic. And they're common from washing our clothes, like our polyester fleece jackets, getting into the wastewater treatment, or tires running on the road is another huge source of microplastics that then may wash into our rivers and lakes. So there's a lot that researchers are still learning about what the influence or impacts that they might have on the environment. Or, yeah, it's something we're becoming more and more aware of.
Yeah, it's kind of like, oh my gosh, wow, we have a lot to think about. Yeah.
The first time I realized like rubber shoes and tires and all the little bitty pieces on the roads, I had to step back for a moment and be like, oh my God.
So bringing us back to something we were just talking about, this world of science communication, and there's a concept that communicating ideas about our climate, our society, the state of things, and that framing things in a dire way, surprise, makes people less likely to act on these things. And you've already talked about it a little bit, but that giving people real solutions from being politically active to learning more about nature to just being better at recycling mitigates that deer in the headlights reaction that we might get. And I'm wondering, like, how do you think of what you do as doing that?
Yeah, I come to it from not a place of despair. I always think about, even when we're talking about really scary things, how are we going to provide? Maybe there's a space for reckoning with that, but there's always going to be an action step or some sort of something to take away that we can hold on to for dealing with that. I used to work in state parks as a naturalist, and it was like we're really grounded in we care about this because we love it, and because we love it, we're going to protect it. And it's some of the topics that we talk about here at the Energy Institute are the same. We can talk about roots and their amazing capability to store carbon out of the atmosphere and things like that, and they're just fascinating things. So there's a lot of different ways around that I think that can our work can be really hopeful.
That's a good word for it, hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
Any other cool highlights from this last year?
Yeah. Recently, I had, let's see, they were sixth graders coming from a rural Wisconsin town. It was their entire grade. They came for a field trip. We took a tour of the building and we did some hands-on activities in the classroom space. And I had a visiting scholar, Yanning, meeting with the students for a couple minutes as part of that building tour. And she just introduced her work a little bit, and then students could ask her what it's like to be a scientist. And one special moment was the kids asked her, like, have you always been a scientist? And she explained how no, but she was curious when she was a kid, and she was always asking her parents questions about evolution and all these different science topics. And they're like, well, were your parents scientists? And she's like, no, my parents were bus drivers. And then this little boy, he raises his hand and he's like, I am just like you because I am always asking questions. And it was so sweet to me because we have this little boy from rural Wisconsin town and a visiting scholar from a city in China, and they're connecting over this ability to ask questions and be curious, and which is what I'm telling the students, that's what science is all about, just asking questions. And so I think opening up these doors for kids to see science as a possibility for them is really, really special, and special for the scientists too, to see how they inspire younger people with the work that they're doing.
It's powerful too.
Yeah, yeah. The teacher had like heart eye emoji face going on in that moment. It was really special.
Very cool. I wanted to ask you about some of your ambitions for 2020.
Yeah. So it'll be my second full year here. So I'm thinking carefully about what we did well, how we can improve upon specific programs and opportunities that maybe we missed that we can do more of. One thing I'm looking forward to this year is we have a partnership set up with a community center, the Neighborhood House here in town, where I'm going to be going once a week for 8 weeks straight as part of their summer camp. And that's exciting, again, to think about more of a sustained impact with a group of people. Another ambition is growing the Kidwind Challenge. We have this kid middle school and high school wind turbine design competition that started pretty small, but we're growing it in more communities and more teams are becoming involved. And so that's been really exciting to see how we can develop that into a big statewide initiative. So that's something I'm looking forward to.
I think it's something we're all looking forward to. Allison Bender, Wisconsin Energy Institute Outreach and Events Coordinator. Thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
And if you're a person who is curious, which is all people pretty much, you should check out our website at energy.wisc.edu/events, and maybe you'll get a chance to participate and play with one of our cool toys at an upcoming event.
Mm-hmm. We hope to see you.
You've been listening to Forward in Energy, the podcast about energy research and outreach at the Wisconsin Energy Institute on the UW-Madison campus. Thank you again to Allison Bender for joining us, and thanks to the thousands of members of our community who joined us in 2019 at an event. To learn more about some of the cool stuff we did last year and read more about Allison's work, go to energy.wisc.edu/annual-report. I'm Mark Griffin. Thanks for listening, and see you around the curve.